Hey, everybody, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday! Oh, my God, I'm surprised I'm alive. The Adam Devine, can't even say it, the Adam Devine Weird Life Tour. Man, what a first eight shows we've had. Detroit, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois. I mean, it's been a roller coaster ride of fun. Kyle Walsh, Adam Devine, myself, Adam's boy Zach from home, selling merch. So many laughs. The bus tour life is the greatest. If you haven't seen a show on this tour yet and we're in your area, I highly recommend you get tickets. Or hit me up. We've been doing a little few contests the day of in some cities, and I've been giving away some free tickets. So come out and see a show. The rest of the schedule is on my website, adamraytv.com, and come out. I know we're getting ready to do this week, I think, in Kansas, in Lawrence, Kansas, and then Aspen on Friday, and then, oh, man, and then Utah, and then I'm going to miss the Eugene. I'm making Eugene. I'm missing Boise and Spokane, unfortunately, so to shoot a TV show, which I can't say yet, but it's pretty awesome. So I'm going to miss a couple shows, but I will be there for Eugene, San Fran, and L.A. to close it out. Of course, L.A., the will turn March 4th, which is going to be a big show. So anyway, get your tickets, come out, and those of you who have come to the shows, thank you. It's been so much fun. Been doing a lot of Instagram stories and Facebook Lives from the bus, and we'll continue to do that. Today's episode is one of my favorite episodes we've done in a long time. A hilarious comedian, host, actor, the host of his podcast, Worst Birthday. He's one of the best comics to watch. He's just so fun and entertaining. Used to be a tennis champion. The guy's story is insane, and he's so quick and so funny, and he crushed today's podcast. I'm talking about Michael Costa, baby. You know him because you've seen him on TV shows. You've seen him on Chelsea Lately. He hosted The Comment Section, produced by Joel McHale. He hosted a sports show with Regis Philbin. You've seen him on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. You've seen him on Conan. He's just one of the best, and this episode was just so much fun and really interesting, too, to hear Michael's just writing process and his take on comedy and the business. So if you're a young comic, you're really going to love this episode. Check out Michael's podcast, Worst Birthday, on iTunes. Go to see him live. All his tour dates at michaelcosta.com. And follow Mike on Twitter at Michael Costa. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at Ailen Podcast, at Ailen Podcast on Instagram, Brad Williams Comic on Instagram, Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram. Brad Williams this week will be in Raleigh, North Carolina at Goodnight's Comedy Club in Raleigh, North Carolina. So go see Brad doing stand-up comedy. And then just go see him. Just go. He'll be hanging out there. Go find him. He'll be on a Funky Duck stopping traffic. And then Brad will be in Washington, D.C. March 2nd through the 4th at the Improv. Get your tickets at improv.com and go see Brad there. And then March 8th, Brad and I are both going to be in Salt Lake City, Utah for the live Ailen podcast at Wise Guys Comedy Club for a part of the Golden Spike Comedy Festival in Salt Lake City, Utah. First time festival. Brad and I are going to be doing a live Ailen podcast on March 8th at 8 p.m. with our guest, Marcus, the great Marcus, took second on Last Comic Standing a few years ago. Hilarious impressionist. My boy Avery Pearson's coming out, too. We're going to do some musical comedy. It's going to be a fucking blast. And then that weekend, March 10th through the 12th, I'll be back at Gotham Comedy Club in New York City, baby. Love this club. One of my favorites. Bringing Sandy Danto to feature. Avery Pearson coming out to do some improvised music at the end. Going to be a blast. March 10th through the 12th, Gotham Comedy Club in New York City. Get your tickets at improv.com or adamraytv.com. And then March 16th through the 18th, I'll be making my debut at the Addison Improv in Dallas, Texas, co-headlining with my boy Amir Kay from Mad TV. So that'll be a blast. March 16th through the 18th in Dallas, Texas at the Improv, Addison Improv. And then March 23rd through the 26th, I'll be back at the St. Louis Funny Bone in St. Louis, Missouri. Get your tickets at adamraytv.com. St. Louis Funny Bone, March 23rd through the 26th. All our merch is now up and running on aboutlastnightpodcast.com. So go there, click on the link, get your merch, bring it to the shows. We'll sign it, take pictures. I got to be honest, so many Ailen fans on this Adam Devine Weird Life tour. It has been unbelievable to see how many of you guys have come out. And it's just so great to meet podcast fans live, man. And some fan of the weeks are coming in the next few weeks. So be on the lookout for that. And of course, subscribe to my other podcast, Good Call with Josh Wolf. You can get that on iTunes. We just dropped an episode with Michelle Beadle, the host of Sports Nation and NBA Countdown. Such an amazing episode. She's a fascinating woman. Hilarious, sweet, gorgeous. The total package. That's actually featured on iTunes today. So go to the front page of iTunes and see the Good Call with Michelle Beadle episode featured. Make sure you subscribe. So many great eps coming. Joy McIntyre, my boy from New Kids on the Block, will be on next week promoting the new show that we are on together, his show called Return of the Mac, which premieres April 12th on Pop TV. So much great content coming. So many more great episodes of ALN coming. So make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Comment and rate the podcast on iTunes. And enjoy. All right, now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's the merch info. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very, very funny Michael Costa.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
Even if I'm napping, that's valuable.
Are you a big napper?
I nap.
God, hell yeah.
I need to get into the nap game.
You, me, both, sir.
Yeah, hell yeah. You don't nap, huh? You can record whenever you want.
We're going.
Yeah. Oh, we're going.
I started right at the nap stuff. Because I knew that was gold. But no, I think it was Ron Funches when he was on, and he was like, I wake up at 8, I do my stuff, I do a workout, I smoke some weed.
He works out?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, now you know he dropped like 100 plus pounds.
I didn't know Ron until, I guess, that happened.
Skinny Ron.
Yeah. Skinny Ron.
And so he goes, and then I nap from about 4 to 6, and then go do my show.
Wow.
And I was like, that seems like a great schedule. And it's like, I napped yesterday, actually, speaking of naps, for the first time in, I don't know, 2 months. And it is necessary. And I nap from 6 to 8. And when I woke up,
that's
I was
a good
like,
nap.
Yeah, but then I like couldn't go to bed till like 5. But yeah.
You nap, Brad?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I say like I'm up at 7 and then I work until like 10. I shut down like 3 and then
you're always up early.
Yeah.
Wow.
Always. Now, is that a dwarf thing or is that a you thing?
See,
and that's a valid question.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, dwarves were.
My headphones are hot.
Are they?
Can I turn them down a little bit?
Yeah. Is this you?
That's, I don't know. That's good. Better. Thank you, guys. Right. Thanks.
I mean, dwarves are a very industrious people. Used to work in the mines where there was no concept of daylight. So yeah, we just kind of wake up early naturally. I have no idea.
I bet you're the earliest waking up stand up comic. It'd be fun to have some ranking system.
It would.
Ben Glebe goes to bed at like 6 a.m. or something.
Does he go to bed though? Is my next question.
I don't. That's a good question. Yeah. I mean, he just
posts a video in New York and then a video of him in his apartment an hour later.
Right. It's like, I don't
basically,
know.
We think Ben has either invented time travel, maybe he's Barry Gordon the Flash. I'm not sure.
There's a great book that I recommend all artists read called Daily Rituals or Daily Habits. Mm-hmm. And it goes through like 140 artists throughout history.
Yeah.
What they did every day.
Huh.
Okay? What their daily habits were.
Yeah.
And it is nuts. Like, some writers wake up and have a bottle of gin. And, like they all have weird shit. The one thing...
Hunter S. Thompson was rum every day.
Dude, like, crazy shit.
Yeah. Barbara Walters, played with herself. That was her thing.
She plugged in a magic wand, and normally that's why you saw the lights flickering in the room.
That did not make the book, but maybe... What's great, two things I noticed every artist did.
Yeah.
One, they all fucking took naps.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me. And two, they all took walks. Now, I have a dog, so I have to walk. But I never took walks prior to having a dog.
It? We live in a great walk city, I feel like.
Oh, this is a... Yeah, no one walks, but this is a great dog city.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Where do you... if you don't mind sharing the area that you...
I live in Larchmont Village. And by the way, when I turned onto your street... Do we say that we record here, or do we say we record in like...
Hollywood.
Hollywood. Okay, yeah.
I mean, I don't have stalkers per se.
No, but we're at, you know, it's beautiful here in the Chinese Theater, so I appreciate you guys having me.
Thank you, Costa, for the win.
When I turned on this street...
Hollywood Boulevard, right in front of the Chinese Theater.
I remember... I moved to LA, and like 2 days later, my girlfriend at the time, she was flying back to Michigan, okay? And it was like our big goodbye was, I had to go to an acting class here, not on this, like on this street. Yeah. And I remember she was just in the car crying. And after the acting class, I had to drive her to the airport, and we were just crying.
Oh God!
Do you know that goodbye?
Dude,
we've all done so it. Yes. No longer with that person. She's married with kids, happy, great. But like, I turned on your street, and I literally go, "This is where fucking Nadia and I just wept in the car together."
I'm so sorry, dude.
And actually, not your fault. By the way,
can I be honest?
We're at the Chinese theater.
I don't actually live here. I just came here because I knew that was where Michael weeps. Up.
It's like, well. That's cost is everyone. So.
I think everyone's cried with someone before they say goodbye to them. If you haven't, you're a bad person. You should unsubscribe to this podcast.
You know what? I'm not going to fight that.
I think
if you don't,
it's a natural thing because that just means you're a good enough person that you could get close enough with someone that you can miss them.
That they can hurt you.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad saying goodbye. It's like with the fucking airport when you stand there and you see people arriving.
Yeah.
It's the what's that movie? With the English movie, with the Christmas movie.
The Christmas movie?
The Christmas movie that's
Santa
in England.
Claus, Elf?
Santa Claus, no. Elf. No, I forget. Oh, fuck, what is that movie?
Hercules Saves Christmas.
Hugh Grant is in it.
Oh, Love Actually.
Love Actually.
Yeah, dude, give me a break. Yeah,
the credits, it's all people at the airport, they're crying
dude,
their eyes
the credits
out.
Was the saddest part.
When I, from now on, when I think of your podcast, I'm going to think of me and Nadia crying together.
Dude, and crying together, it's like...
Together,
such a,
yeah.
I did long distance... twice and like so a lot of back and forth and every time it was I started to get thick skin to it and just try to be the rock in it not the rock of the relationship like legitimately the rock.
Yeah, trying to be Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah, he would do the people's eyebrow and just be like
yeah
get your candy ass on that Southwest flight.
That'd be great if after you took her to the airport you were the rock for like a couple of days.
Finally, I can be myself.
So, where are you flying to, babe, while I'm fighting? It doesn't matter where you're flying to! For wrestling fans, they know that's actually the catchphrase. Yeah. Adam's just staring at me blankly.
Okay, I was doing the same.
Are you a crier in general? Like, do you feel like you're a pretty emotional dude?
I don't think so, but I do find that when I open up about crying, most men put their hands in their pockets and then kind of walk away from me. So I don't know if that means that I admit that I cry too much, or I do cry too much, or they cry just as much as me but are afraid to admit it.
Yeah, I think it's the third.
The only time I really ever cry is love. Or the lack thereof. I don't like to cry at a fucking commercial. I ain't no faggot. You know what I mean? I just
I watched that Sarah McLachlan ASPCA commercial and jerk off.
Yeah, jerk off.
I just like, oh, all the suffering puppies.
It doesn't make me cry those ones.
What about the YouTube videos of like a soldier surprising his brother at a halftime of a basketball
Soldiers,
game?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
I'm the only person that watches those and goes, why was he at war in the fucking first place? Yeah. You know what I mean? He shouldn't be there. I get so angry when the catcher takes his mask off and, you know, it's the dad and everyone starts crying. It's like, he shouldn't be gone in the first place. But a dog that lost its puppy and that they're reunited a year later.
What?
Those are
crazy. I mean, we're all kind of going right now.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Those are crazy.
And then what was the one I saw recently? It's pets. It's fucking pets, dude. The dog didn't have any legs and then some scientists gave him legs and he got to run around for the first time.
I saw that video.
Oh, that one. I was crying on that one. Yeah. Yeah.
They made which I don't know. See, for me, I see that video and I go, see, this is how the rise of the machine starts.
Yeah.
You put robo legs on a dog and all of a sudden, the next Air Bud movie is Air Bud the Apocalypse because the dogs are just taking over Planet of the Apes style.
I think that's a natural progression.
How long have you had a dog for?
I've had a dog for 8 months. Highly recommend it. Makes me laugh every day. You know, I don't laugh anymore. We don't laugh anymore.
Thinking about that the other day, just talking about thick skin. Like, I was watching one of my favorite shows, Curb Your Enthusiasm, and I'm just watching it, smiling, and in my head being like, I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
Like, but not. Also, I've seen every episode so many times.
But you're analyzing it. You're not just eating it like the first. You know, it's. I kind of am trying to learn about beer, and now when I have beer, it's like, let's think about the. It's like, just drink, enjoy it.
I know.
But you can't anymore.
Yeah.
So the dog makes me laugh every day.
Yeah.
By doing what?
Dude, he's hilarious, man. Like I come home, and it's not just he's happy to see me. It's like a full-on attack of the face.
Sure.
The dog, comics need to have dogs, because we're both self-conscious enough that we need other people's approval.
Yeah.
But we also are narcissistic enough to think people need to hear us.
Yeah.
And the dog really thinks you're the king of the world. It's the greatest. It's the only person in my whole life.
It's pretty good.
That thinks I'm the best
dog owner.
Now you can't. You need to have a little bit of money so then you can have someone walk it if you're gone on the road. You guys are going on the. You're going on a tour soon. Like, you, what would you do with your fucking dog?
I mean,
bring him on the bus?
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, I know I didn't... Hey, Adam Devine, I know I didn't tell you, but I got six dogs I'm bringing.
I love that you think I'd go big like that.
Yeah,
six dogs. I'm not getting one.
Six dogs.
Well, I know people that have friends that are excuse me, in town all the time, and they offer to, like Jeff Dye has a buddy that like will always watch his dog.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's a perfect situation. And then sometimes you board it if you're gone for super long, but...
Yeah, I mean, I would recommend a small dog because more people are more likely to care for a small dog.
Also, I don't want my dag. My dag.
Yeah, I don't want your dag. I don't want David Alan Greer watching my dog. Okay, is he coming? Is he here?
Well, that's my real dog, but
that's my dog, like fist bump dog.
Fist bump dog.
My dog. I don't want a big dog because if I do have it, like I get concerned. Like for Brad's safety, I don't want.
No, I completely. That's what I was thinking.
Sure, that's a legitimate concern.
And
he has been
and
charged that.
Have you had bad experiences with dogs?
Adam saw me get attacked by a pug out front of this damn apartment.
Serious?
Yeah, dude. Like this pug was just walking by, and I don't know if he like didn't like the smell of dwarves. I don't know if we have a smell.
Smell good to me.
Yeah. What's the dwarf smell? I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like
cranberry.
I was gonna say cranberry cupcake. I don't know, but like we're walking by,
one of those.
and this pug just jumps up with his little snot face. And starts biting me, and I'm like, "You son of a bitch!"
Like aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm like, I don't know. Maybe his mom was drop kicked by a dwarf. I don't know.
You don't know. If it was an adopted dog, my dog hates Latins, and I've also rewarded him for that behavior. No, he like he was found in Crenshaw Boulevard in Compton, supposedly. By the way, I'm sure he was stolen from some rich person's backyard, but that's what they tell you. He does not like Latin people. Something happened with him.
Men and women? Or?
Yeah, both. Yeah.
Wow.
So a Latin family fucked him up.
Yeah.
And this is why I support the wall. I support Trump. I support... I don't know.
We can't build your wall. We can't have these dogs getting pissed off.
Dog.
Yeah.
Huge. Huge.
Have you been doing any Trump material or any sort of...
I talk about...
Does it make you curious?
Yeah, I talk about how people here were so upset, and it's like, have you guys been, like, you're so bubbled. Have you ever been anywhere else? Like, I feel like road comics, I would call myself that, and I don't think it's a bad term. I think we weren't as surprised.
Yeah.
It's
because
like,
we've been to areas where we go, there's a lot of angry white people.
Yeah, and
there.
It's just like, it's not... It I'm aware of this country. I don't say it like I know everything, but like the night of the election, I was at the Comedy Store. The waitresses were crying, arms around each other, like they just lost on the last second field goal. And
that's where you went to.
The next day I flew to, and you'll appreciate this because I think you were just there.
Mm-hmm.
Juniors,
dude. Yeah, I was just
we
about
all,
to reference.
We were all just in juniors.
Okay, yeah, because I saw your guys as like
flyers.
They sent all your shit. I was like, are they selling this much merchandise? Why am I only selling six CDs this weekend?
No.
Anyways, I went to people
juniors
were crying
in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Great place, great staff, great city.
Yep.
I'm here in LA. People are crying. The next day, I'm like in Erie. There's the roller derby team was there. Girls, definitely lesbians. Judging them solely off of the short haircuts and broad shoulders. And I said to them, "I'm sorry about the election," And they go, "What are you talking about? Like we voted for Trump." And it was just like, "Oh, I forgot that this is different than LA."
Yes,
it's different. It's a big fucking country.
So, what percentage of the people in this country do you think get to experience outside of their bubble?
Yeah. We're very lucky that way.
I mean, you always hear about people.
Or terrified. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure we all hear about people, whether it's in your hometown or just other people, strongly, I think, across the Midwest, that are like, man, I'm one of the few people that have left. So everyone who's there is just, they know that. I don't know. I mean, it's just, we don't.
And some people don't have the means to leave, and that's not there. But I just think, like, look, when that guy picks you up at the Cleveland airport and drives you 2 hours to Juniors, I would never talk to this person, okay? Mm-hmm. In if I had a choice.
Yeah, right.
But now I have to.
Yeah.
And guess what? We both learned a little something. I guarantee you he doesn't like me or where I come from or that I played collegiate tennis. And I guarantee
professional
that
tennis.
Professional tennis. I you know, I don't always love how much he was talking about the military, but I was also like, hey, it was good we had this chat because now I understand you better and vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what the fucking country should do.
Right.
Good night.
Costa out.
Costa out.
You're right, though. Forced car conversations could be a huge... If that was something that Trump implemented, if he was like, everybody, for 45 minutes, grab a stranger, it'll be somebody you didn't want to match up with on Tinder, and you'll get in the car. Yeah.
Grab him by the pussy, throw him in the car, talk to him.
But that would be a good executive order.
It would
be someone that you dislike and disagree with, you're forced to drive to the airport.
Because you'll find not that you suddenly see their point of view completely, but you'll understand it a little
and
more.
You'll empathize with them.
Yeah. Personally, I'm not a gun owner. I don't think I don't think I'll ever own a gun.
Yeah.
But we tour the Midwest, and you see I've been to Alaska where it's like, oh no, I totally get why you guys have guns because there could be a bear in your backyard tonight.
They're also bored out of their fucking mind, and shooting guns is fun. And I don't have anything wrong with that.
I've shot guns. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
But you ever shot a gun, you're like, holy shit, I get it.
Yeah.
This is great.
You want to get my gun out of the car right now? I don't have a gun, but I'm not. Yeah, I'm not.
You have to shoot the Latins that your dog is afraid of.
You to me are one of the most fun comics to watch.
Oh, thanks,
in
Adam.
The game.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
And it's been like that since the first time I saw you, which I don't remember.
I was trying to think about that.
Yeah.
About how,
because I feel like we've known each other for a while.
You guys both are like the comics where I could never. I just remember always knowing you.
Yeah.
But I don't know how, and I don't particularly like either of you, but I just know that I've always known you.
Why would you?
I've always known you.
It's like Magic Johnson's AIDS. He had so much sex, he doesn't know where
I got it from.
But it's with him.
Can you imagine
all the
his wife being like, well, where do you think you got it? And you have to be like, shit.
He's got to find the name. She looks her up on Facebook.
Yeah, right. It's like, I don't know. I've cheated on you a lot of times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like,
so many.
Well, like, he gave some interview at one point, and I'm like one of the biggest Magic Johnson fans out there.
Sure.
But he gave
Michigan State.
Yeah. He gave an interview at some point where he goes, where some guy's like, well, did you ever have sex outside your marriage? He goes, yeah, I did. And then they're like, did you ever have sex with multiple partners, like threesomes? And he looked at him almost insulted.
Yeah, like, don't give
that
me
he
some
said
fucking
three,
respect.
That he said threesomes. He's like, guy.
Yeah.
Tensums. Yeah. Like, just like.
What interview was this?
Roy Firestone.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it.
And he just was like, yeah, there was a couple times and there was like, but he did it with the magic smile. Like, you know, sometimes I'd have 8, 9, 10 people in the bed at the same time. And then the fact that he had that statement, and then he also said the statement of, this just shows, if it happens to me, it could happen to anybody.
Yeah.
You're anybody.
Not tensums. There's a great 30 for 30 short that my friend Isaac Feeder directed about, and I'll forget his name, but it's the L.A. Laker during Showtime Lakers.
A.C. Green.
A.C. Green, who remained a virgin.
Yeah.
Through all and the whole movie, and it's on ESPN's website. The whole movie is about how he maintained his virginity during Magic,
during Showtime.
James, were it like, you know, he literally said people would knock on his door naked.
Yeah.
Like with jackets, and he would just start saying the Hail Mary and be like, get away from me. And like, he remained a virgin. He had sex when he got married at like age 37. Isn't that amazing?
I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't know either, but it's an interesting story.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
It's an interesting story.
Also at a time, you know, it's not like, you know, look, if, you know, shit, I don't know, if Dustin Diamond was like, look, I fucking
Screech.
Stayed. Yeah, I stayed. Yeah. I turned it all down during the Saved by the Bell years. He'd be like, I mean, I don't know how much was coming at you.
Right.
Maybe a few.
Right.
Maybe a few every now and then.
Right. But Showtime Lakers, this was daily. Yeah.
And
way to tie in Dustin Diamond.
I mean, we
it's not every
I
day.
Look, we always try to.
Podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, do you? Okay. All right. Got it.
I mean, and you also look at that. You also look at that scenario and you go, like, it's amazing that professional athletes and rock stars don't cheat on their wives' spouse like more than they do.
Correct.
Because
I think they do plenty. We just don't have the facts and figures. Also, you're not getting like an ESPN text alert like fucking Vladdy Divac fucked another whore.
Yeah, like it doesn't go across the screen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Greg Giraldo had that fantastic joke where it's like, if your average person, like this happened when the Tiger Woods thing came out.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, if your average person denies 99.9% of all the pussy offered to him, he never fucks outside of his marriage.
Correct.
If Tiger Woods denies 99.9% of the pussy denied to him, he still has sex with 238 women a year.
And like, yeah. If anything, we should be celebrating that he's saying no to that high right. percentage.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we pick our hand sanitizer.
Yeah, 99.9%.
Yeah.
I mean, birth control is not even 99.9%.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And we're happy with that.
By the way, I love that hand sanitizer. Like, that's like not good for you. Like, you need some bacteria.
Yeah.
We're supposed to give our kids peanuts now. Do you know that? Do you know that, like, did you read all that?
Yeah, that thing
just came out.
Right.
That it's like the reason they have peanut allergies is because we don't give them peanuts. Like, they need to... this is a weird conversation because peanuts sound so much like penis, but you're supposed to give kids...
I have a joke about that.
You do have a joke about that. You're supposed to give kids peanuts.
Sometimes your uncle's peanuts.
Yeah, sometimes your uncle's peanuts.
All right, Brad, you know what? We're trying to keep this as clean as possible.
Is that a joke? Oh, is this a clean podcast?
No.
Oh,
no.
I was going to say,
no.
I'm going to bring up Dustin Diamond. This is not a clean podcast.
That's where it went dirty.
I think he got arrested on Christmas.
He stabbed someone in a bar on Christmas.
In Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, in Wisconsin. Because that's what you do on Christmas.
The second arrest, I started to feel bad for him. But then I was like, oh, don't. Because he tries to do stand-up, right? And he sells his headshots.
Are you like me where you get somewhat... I think we're all at a point where, you know, this is a big chunk of what we do in our lives. And we all understand the grind and the work that needs to go into this to get to do some of the cool shit we get to do. And when I see people that either jump into it late or think... I mean, look, anyone who wants to try it, you know, try it.
Sure.
Right? But just... I guess what I have a problem with are the people, and maybe like Dustin Diamond, or, you know, even people that are, you know, like I have friends from college who have been doing it 4 months and they want to sit down and get coffee and be like, how do I get out of these bringer shows and get past?
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I guess this isn't for you because I try to give them the, you know, the time of day to be like, this is what it requires. Are you down for that? Like, because it does suck for a while.
It's going to weed you out.
But do you get like defensive when you see people try to almost put on, like in LA, there are a lot of people that do it for the sake of like, I want
to
get
my acting coach asked me to, you know, that's a big one. You see, I mean, I get furious.
Yeah.
I get like, I'm in my car punching the steering wheel because I was at like the coffee shop down here and the guy saw me writing and I'm not like, hey everyone, I'm writing jokes now. But he was looking and he's, oh, you comic? And I go, yeah. And I go, you know, what do you do? He goes, I'm a comic. And I go, oh, great. Like, where do you perform? And he's like, I'll be at the Comedy Store. And then he said the date. And it was like 4.5 months from now.
Yeah.
And I remember like getting in the car being furious. I wasn't mean to him, but I was furious. And I was just like, that you're not a comic. And it's okay to say I'm an aspiring comic or I'm working here now. That's okay.
That's the word.
Everyone's been a fucking aspiring
anything.
Yeah, we
all
started
at some point.
But I write comedian on my taxes and I'm proud of that. And it took me 13 years to do that. So you don't get to say to me that you're a comedian.
You can't. I don't get to make 2 grilled cheeses and go, I'm a chef.
Yeah, but he makes great grilled
cheeses. Thank you. That was a bad example.
Well, here's what I love about sport, because when I played tennis, there's literally
professional
tennis. My career high ranking was 864 in the world.
That's, by the way, incredible.
It's great. Thank you very much. I made literally $11,000 over 4 years. But they rank 6,000 people, and it is on the computer.
Yeah.
You could print it out, and it's so objective. That's why I love sport. Like, I can't say I'm 100 in the world at tennis because my number is 864 or 1,000. It's just like in comedy, you can just say you're a comedian because you once got retweeted by Patton Oswalt. It's like, no, that isn't. But anyways, we don't have that in comedy.
Right.
It's an art form. There's no like ranking system.
Yeah, I can't say like, oh, I'm the CEO of Goldman Sachs.
I can't say that. You're not allowed to say
no,
that.
No, but...
Yeah. Well, not with that attitude.
And we've all had those moments where someone sees us and goes, oh, you're from Los Angeles? You're a comedian?
Yeah.
Do you know this guy? And no, I don't know this guy. Oh, he's doing great.
He always performs at IO West. Well, that's a completely different thing.
Shitty person. Oh, yeah.
Shitty person.
Well, like,
nice writing, Michael. Shitty person.
Well, they tell you like, oh, he does this open mic night and this open mic night. And you're like, well, not really trying to be a comedian.
Well, and I think that's, I don't want to sound negative like, hey, only we are allowed to do comedy. Everyone's allowed to do it, but just remember, like it's fucking hard. And you can say my goal is to be a professional comedian. Yeah. That's great. I love you. You know what? I'll fucking love to help you if you say that.
Yeah,
I'm an aspiring comic. Now I got to serve stupid coffees to idiots like you. Oh, now you made me laugh. Hey, come on the road with me.
Yeah,
$1 million made.
Yeah,
that's how much my features make. $1 million.
I was gonna ask.
I make $32,000 a year. My features make $1 million.
They sell that feature merch.
Kind of backwards with this.
It's backwards.
I mean, but hey, $32,000, that's like three times as much as you made as a professional
tennis
player.
That's what I mean.
I'm rolling in the dough.
I'm three times better at comedy than I was at tennis, and I make $32,000 a year.
So you're ranked like 232 out of comedians.
Probably. It's probably not that far off. I don't know what I'm ranked as a comedian.
I do want to ask you about your writing process, and I want to put a pin in that, but I want to talk about your tennis days.
Sure.
And I know you've probably talked about it at great length on so many things, but it is, I think, for good reason. It's an incredible look. Some of us don't have interesting stories prior to comedy.
Sure.
And that is incredible.
You're sure?
A to be a successful athlete and in a sport where, you know, I mean, like, I don't know many. My mom played doubles tennis almost professionally in Oklahoma when she was like in high school and college. And that's the only tennis player I know that like won trophies.
Yeah, yeah.
And like played, you know.
Yeah.
So when did it start for you? And I also want to know, was comedy a part of that sports world for you? Like, were you funny on the court?
I wasn't funny on the court, but comedy was my, this is totally different. Because, you know, you spend so much time and energy on it, and then it's like, oh, I used to write jokes waiting for matches to start, not thinking I would ever be sitting doing your podcast as a comedian.
Well, but sure.
you never realize you're going to be at the Chinese Theater doing this amazing podcast.
With this live studio audience!
Costa.
So, yeah, it was just a hobby to take my mind off of tennis. But I got to a very high level. That being said, just like in comedy, you always feel like there's a higher level to get to.
Yeah.
You know, my first professional match ever was in Zihuatanejo, Mexico, which is, if that sounds familiar to you, that's where Andy Dufresne escaped prison to in the Shawshank Redemption.
No way.
Zihuatanejo, if you remember
that. I'll meet you in Zihuatanejo, Mexico. Exactly.
That was my first pro tournament. There was
where someday Michael Costa will double fall
on match point.
Under the shiny rock.
There was two men watching my match. So I lost first round. I made $111, okay? Not unlike feature or hosting pay.
Yeah.
My hotel bill was like $900 that week, so I lost a good probably $1,000 that week. But there was two people watching my match. I lost. I went up to them afterwards, and I said, thanks for watching my match. And they said, no, we just have the court after you. You know, like, it wasn't sexy. This was like single A, double A, minor league baseball.
Yeah.
These guys are all in the same fucking bus. You've seen Bull Durham. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like that, but you're by yourself. That's what the fucking sucks about.
Yeah,
well, so that preps you for the life of comedy.
It preps you for failing, which is so much of comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I think the one thing that I'm proud of is people often say to me about my comedy, like, hey, you just seemed like you were impervious to a bad audience or you had a bad set and the next day you came. He's like, yeah, because in tennis you fucking lose all the time. And you got to go practice. You lose, oh, that sucks. You're going to cry, you're going to go practice. So
did you practice a lot?
That's all you do is fucking, especially when you lose. That's all you do is fucking practice.
Like later that day, you probably go to the court.
Yeah, unless you're physically completely at zero, you go practice.
How do you even get in? Was it a parent move? Was it you just like being an active kid and you're like, oh, this?
It was a family. It was a family event that we played tennis. And I'm also I'm also lucky because of birth order. Youngest of four kids. The other kids, there was no fucking money for them to take tennis lessons. Youngest kid, dad's business is doing better.
Ooh.
You know, and it wasn't like I was handed lessons and blah, blah, blah. I still had to work really hard, but we had the resources to do
that. Sure.
You need that.
Yeah.
My older brother, Todd, would have been a much better tennis player, but, you know, my parents were like, you can have a left shin guard or you can have a right shin guard. You know, like, which one?
Choose.
Choose. Yeah.
Which shin do you hate the most?
Which one do you want to kick the most?
Yeah.
So for me, that wasn't... It's a lot of things that go into it, but it is very similar to comedy in the sense that you're out there by yourself, relying on no one, and your success and failure is oftentimes completely determined by things you can control. So that helped me with comedy.
Coaches, were there people in that whole world that you found like inspiring or somebody you keep in touch with?
And, yeah, I mean, coaches are the most important person besides parents in anyone's development. And I mean coach from a violin teacher to boys and girls club coach, a life coach, whatever. Like you have to have coaches. The problem is when they start molesting you, you have to that's a bad coach. That's a bad coach.
Is that the problem?
That's why the Sandusky thing is so bad. It's like you're so important to these kids.
Right.
And you fucked it up.
All the trust is put in you.
Yeah, and it's like some, you know, especially if there's bad parents, mm-hmm. now this coach is filling a parental role. So anyways, I love I've had great coaches. I keep in touch with my coaches. And, you know, somewhere back home in Ann Arbor, Michigan, there's boxes of trophies. I don't know what you do with them. Can I melt them down?
I mean,
they're not like worth anything.
Ask me. I got my first place comedy basketball league trophy.
That's a big fucking. Eventually, they become a nuisance. That's just so giant. That's a nuisance.
Great conversation starter.
It is. I mean, I will always quote when Sebastian Maniscalco was here. He just looked over and he goes, "Before we start, what's with the trophy?" And I go, he goes, "Are you in fifth grade still?"
That's great.
And he goes, "So people come over and you show them that?" And I was like,
there's something about adult trophies that are great because they're so big. And it's so overcompensated. That's third place?
Yeah.
What was the first place? What, do you want a fucking car? What is that thing?
Same size, maybe an actual basketball because there's nothing.
But you're right, because you're a kid, you're seven, so a 6-inch high trophy, you're like, great.
Yeah.
Trophies were the shit, though.
I remember being so pumped
getting one. Yeah. Even a participatory one, but I'm sure you won some pretty cool ones. Yeah,
I mean, it like comedy, tennis, anytime you get cocky, mm-hmm. It'll fucking fuck you up.
Yeah.
Right? So you need the confidence to perform well, but don't ever think you know what the fuck you're doing. So, yeah, I would win a tournament and then I'd get cocky and you lose first round. You know what I mean? So it's like, and it's just like comedy. You're like, I crushed the first show. I'm going to crush the second show. And the second show fucking serves you your ass. Yeah. You know, it's like,
Do you have a gig along the way? You started in.
I started in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Okay.
Yeah, at a bar show and. Yeah.
Do you remember your first jokes at the time?
Yeah, first jokes. I had the, you'll love this. This was, you know, just shows my brilliance from day one.
You've always been this confident on stage.
I always wanted to be self appreciating as opposed to self deprecating.
Yeah.
I didn't realize in the beginning, I thought you could just be cocky. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize you also have to be likable. So it's taken 15 years to figure that out. I still don't always get it.
You have a beautiful blend of both.
Thank you.
Because there is a slight arrogance to your onstage persona.
Sure.
But you need that. You're right. Like,
And that's what I wanted to have. I like self-appreciation. To me, there's nothing funnier than arrogance because we're all going to die anyways. It's how can you ever be arrogant? Well, we're all going to die.
Yes. Right. We're all in the same spot.
Shit. Yeah, exactly. So,
and you have found the perfect.
Thank you.
It's like, that's why people love to watch you. Is it like,
thank
it's
you.
So... real, but it's like you can, if you're not a fucking idiot, you can tell the
hopefully
heightened sense of like,
yep.
there's a like, I'm not this guy completely. Yeah.
But like, at the beginning, I remember at juniors, the only time I've ever been punched was I was green, and I used to do this joke where I would look at this girl and I would go, oh, is he your boyfriend? And she would say, yeah. And then I would say, well, if you're looking for an upgrade, and then I would hand her my business card. And like, I learned how to do that joke, but at the beginning I would just do it to like some schlub guy.
Right.
Well, that guy will kick the shit out. He kicked the shit out of me. I was at the bar across the street, and the guy goes, "Hey, you were that comic." I turned around, and I fucking got clocked.
Damn.
Now if I were to do that joke, I would do it to the guy that's more successful and better looking than me, because he goes, "Oh, fuck you." You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, you can't
do that. Yeah, exactly. Right. But I you learn that when you are on the ground weeping, waiting for the security guard to kick that guy out. So that's what happened.
Now what was the moment that you talked about doing your first open mic in Ann Arbor. What was the moment that finally made you go, you know what, I'm going to try this?
I always watched comedy, loved comedy. I don't know how you guys were, but I think Paul Reiser said it. He said, I was always inspired by mediocre comedy. When I would see great comedy, I would be like, oh, I can't do that. I even, you know, now you watch a great comic and you oftentimes think like, there's no way I can do it.
Yeah, well,
Bill Burr, like I said, I wanted to write a Tiger Woods joke. How did you just do that? And it's impossible. But then when you see a shitty comic, you're like, I know I can do that.
Yeah.
So I would get inspired by a lot of the mediocre comics that come out of the Midwest. Also, some great comics come out of the Midwest, but there's also, you know, like anywhere, there's a lot of shit too.
Yeah.
A lot of hacks.
So you would see that and go like, oh, I could do this.
If they're calling this guy a comic and he sucks,
and
I
he's
think I can do
he's
that.
Getting paid, you're
so,
like,
yeah. So
I can do this.
So I wrote some jokes. I went up there. The first joke I told, I asked the MC. It was a layered joke. Mm. I asked the MC to bring me up as someone that just got his black belt in karate.
This
and
is
then
true?
I yeah, and then I came up and I said, "Yeah, in crotch karate." And then
and then
I always wanted to be a physical comic, which is hilarious because
I
do none of that now, and I don't want to be now. And then I went around the room and pretended to karate chop people with my dick. I mean, truly, this is like, I mean, why is that a first
why
joke?
Why did no one give you a Tonight Show set yeah. right then?
That's pretty
classic.
So my sister's been 13 years sober now, and we went backwards with that date, and we realized that like she turned sober kind of after my first set. So like she saw my first set and was like, I need to change my life.
Your first set was her rock bottom.
Hey everybody, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Look, do you like food? Probably. You're a person. You have hunger desires. You like delicious food. Are you a busy professional couple or a large family that runs at a breakneck pace? Or somebody who, like me, just wants to start cooking more but doesn't have the tools or resources or is lazy as fuck and doesn't want to go to the store to get all the materials? HelloFresh makes all this shit easier and tastier and healthier than ever before. To enjoy the experience of cooking new recipes and eating together at home. All right. Basically, they allow you to create recipes and plan meals without doing the grocery shopping because all that shit gets delivered to you, pre-measured, and delivered right to your doorstep so that you can cook and be a baller in your own home. Super easy. Okay. Look, HelloFresh, they basically created this whole program so that people like me, like you, like Brad, who are using this, we like to cook, you know, but it's like we're so busy. We don't have time to go out to the store and get everything and then bring it home and measure it out. And just it takes so much fucking extra time. HelloFresh gets that shit pre-measured, all the ingredients for you, and then they send it to you to your doorstep, and all you gotta do is cook that shit up and enjoy it, all right? HelloFresh, they source the freshest ingredients, measure to the exact quantities, so there's no food waste, all right? They have full-time registered dietitians who review each recipe to make sure they're nutritionally balanced, and guess what? They deliver all this shit to your doorstep in a special insulated box for free, okay? Look, we all fantasize about being baller cooks in our own home, okay? Everyone sees Wolfgang Puck on TV when he's like, look at me, I made the new fanciest pizza that everybody loves and everybody wants to fuck me. And you're like, Puck, you're the man, dude. How did you get to that level? Well, he cooks and measures shit out. And guess what? You can do that too at home, but you don't have to measure it out because HelloFresh does it for you and they send it to your doorstep for free. For free is a big key here, all right? So do you want to start living life better and tasting all the good fruits and foods and veggies and meats that life has to offer? Go to HelloFresh.com and use promo code ALN35 to get $35 off your first week of deliveries and start living life the good way, man. I'm telling you, HelloFresh is the shit, dude. I used to hate cooking. Now I do it all the time because of HelloFresh. And at first it was like, all right, this is a sponsor for the podcast. I'll try it out. I actually love it. And my mom just came down to visit and we cooked up a storm. And she was like, this is such a great service. What is it again? I was like, HelloFresh, mom. She's like, what is it? I'm like, mom, I'm 2 feet away from you. I think you have hearing problems. She's like, I'm just high as fuck. Go to HelloFresh.com, promo code ALM35, and get $35 off your first week of deliveries and start tasting the better side of life. All right?
Wow. Exactly fucking right. So
and when do you get the I guess chutzpah to make the move to LA? Like, is there a point? Was it a job or just like, all right, I'm ready?
I got into the Aspen Comedy Fest.
Nice.
Which no longer exists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody there, you're just so stupid in the beginning.
Beautiful comedy for beautiful people.
Yeah. Great class though. I was with Ian Bagg, TJ Miller, Shane Moss, Kurt Fox,
wow.
Eric Andre.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like crazy funny people. And all the agents were like, you better come to LA. We got you. Come to LA. So, of course, I packed up, moved to LA, and then literally could not get a response. Couldn't get a phone call. Couldn't get anything.
Jesus.
But I was here. So I almost needed it to get out here.
Yep.
You know, but is there ever a right time to move? I mean, when is that?
I was talking to somebody about this the other day, a comic in the East Coast, and I was like, he's getting a lot of stay time over there. So I was like, I started being like, well, shit, you're going to have to start over more or less when you come here. So take advantage of that because, you know, you only get to be new once. But then at the same time, I was like, dude, I don't fucking know. I mean, I came out here for college and then just stayed out here.
Where'd you go to school?
USC.
Oh, okay.
And
you're Seattle, right?
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so, and I was born and raised out here. So
you were?
Yeah.
Where were you raised?
Orange County.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
you
it's
know
like
that forest that is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's got the heart on the tree.
Sure.
And,
yes.
Yeah, and you have to do the special knock.
You play the flute.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Brad's family shows up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you were already out here.
Yeah.
But I also think it's harder because you could have, as soon as it got tough, you could have just gone home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is no like that when you're from Michigan. Seattle, you're close, but still it's a fucking, you know, like you can't just go home.
Uh-uh. Right.
And in a way that's good.
Yeah.
It's a commitment.
Forces you to stay out.
Some of the San Francisco guys drive down here and they're like, I'm going to stay for 3 weeks. I'm like, that's not how it's going to work.
That's
dude.
One foot in, one foot out.
Yeah. Just and, fucking go in. Yeah,
you have to be all in. And it's and because also when you're all in, it puts the pressure on you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like if you mm-hmm. know you have an out in some
yeah.
form, you're like, okay, cool. I don't have to allow myself to get fully scared
yeah.
or yeah. intimidated. And
you
got
to
like,
be vulnerable as shit, and you mm-hmm. got to drive deep, deep, deep North Hollywood and do the show in front of no one that you actually think is just someone's home, and now they're offering you drugs. And why did you do drugs? And who is this guy? Why am I having sex with him? You got to do that. But how did you find your mics when you came out here? Because when I was out here, it was like, was it Chuckle Monkey?
Chucklemonkey.com. Yeah.
Is that still a thing?
I don't know.
Oh, who was that?
I don't know, but whoever started chucklemonkey.com, that was the open micers Bible.
Reach out to Brad or Adam if you're listening, because we need to know who the fuck that
right,
was.
Right, and like buy you a beer or something.
Yeah.
Because they had a calendar. You could just click on the day of the week and it would like tell you all the open mics
that were there
and available. So it was so great because it was like, okay, as an amateur comedian with nothing, yep. I could just get time every night.
I remember going to those things. And
did you ever go
up
to Marvin Mary's?
I don't remember that one. What's the site now? Is it Comedy Bureau? Is that the one
maybe,
now?
Maybe.
I mean, we're all lucky that we get to more or less. Hopefully, we can book our own schedules
totally.
Now at this point.
Right.
But yeah, when you move out here, dude, it's fucking tough, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, yeah. When you're starting, no one's gonna just walk up to you and go, "Wait a minute, you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Here's all your shows.
Yeah. Even
like,
if
you have to book
even
them.
If you're funny.
Yeah.
They don't give a fuck.
Right.
Yeah. They're trying to get spots.
Because it's LA. There's a million funny people here.
I remember I went to the Comedy Store open mic, and back then it was a Sunday 6 o'clock sign up, and then 7 they would post
the names,
right?
Yeah.
The names. So I had been on Live at Gotham, which was a comedy. So I actually had a little thing, you know.
That
like
was a great.
That was a good credit, and I was like, so I signed up, and I remember, you know, trying to like tell the guy that I had a TV credit, like only a fucking asshole would do.
Yeah,
who's just moved to LA. You don't know. You got to do
it.
You
have to do it.
You got to do it.
You also, there's no. I mean, if you're lucky enough to meet somebody to give you some sort of advice, it's quick advice. No one's sitting you down and being like, when you go to LA and you're signing up, don't try to act like you're better than you are.
Yeah.
But you're like, I need every edge I should get. And also, maybe you think blindly and blissfully unaware that like, maybe that does help. Maybe
blissfully unaware is a great way to put it. So I signed up. I didn't get on the thing. And I remember, okay, I'll watch the show. I'll see who made it. And there was a homeless guy that had signed up, and he got on, and they kept calling his name, but he wasn't doing the stage time. He was in the bathroom washing his feet in the sink. I remember this, like, and I was like, oh, this is harder than I thought. The homeless guy signed up just to take a shit in a real bathroom, and I have a TV credit, and I can't even get on this fucking show. And I was like, this is hard. I remember thinking, like,
perspective.
And if I lived in Orange County, I would have driven home to my parents. I'm not kidding. I would have fucking driven home to my parents that night. And instead, I had to watch a homeless guy wash his feet. By the way, that guy, Ian Edwards. Just kidding. Why is Ian the guy? That's the only name that came to mind. I don't know.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
The open mic scene out here. Were you driving from mic to mic? I mean, where were you? And what was your
day job or
I would teach tennis a little bit, but
I mean, did you have,
that was a trap.
Oh, because then you kind of got
trap.
Comfortable?
Yeah, cuz you can make you can make $150 an hour cash easy.
Sure, because you have really rich people.
Well, yeah, you have rich people
that
and
are really bored.
And I had a great tennis resume.
Yeah.
I remember teaching Elizabeth Shue. You know,
she goes,
Lisa Shue, yeah.
Leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, so
Adventures in Babysitting.
Of course, dude. Yeah. I mean, literally, like,
wait.
Probably
back
my
to the
first,
future.
Probably my first 100 boners. You know what I mean? Like, at least.
All right.
At
if
least.
You don't write a coffee table book at some point called My First or First One, I mean, dude, that is.
You just list women.
That's an amazing
boners.
Chapter in a book where it's just all the girls you had,
100
all
boners.
The TV crushes.
It's a good that's a good book.
All right.
I love that what you're writing down the books are daily rituals and 100 boners. Tennis is weird. A friend of mine used to teach Elizabeth Shue, and then she was out of town. She's like, can you fill in? She's like, but she she only plays on this court. So I go to that court. That's Lindsey Buckingham's house, the guitarist for Fleetwood Mac.
Yikes.
So now I'm on Lindsey Buckingham's private court west of the 405 with Lisa Hsu. And I remember hitting with her. She's so fucking nice. She's a great tennis player. Lindsey would come out and watch. Lindsey used to love asking me about the road. And, and I was like, I'm going to Peoria, and it's like I'm making, you know, $960, and he loved it. Like he has sold out the O2 Arena.
Yeah.
But he didn't, like, he wanted to hear about the grind.
Yeah.
Because that was his favorite part.
And it's
his favorite part was so, that was the fucking grind.
And he's so far removed from it because, and that's the time when you are grinding, that you're grinding just for the love and the desire of that.
Of music or comedy, whatever.
Yeah, whatever that is. It's not money, it's not the mortgage, it's not the rent. Yeah. It's just like, I really want to do this.
Yeah, and it was cool to see someone who's a multimillionaire selling out, you know, and he was so interested in, like, the process. Anyways, hit with Lisa for an hour. She says to me, so sweet, she says, what do I pay you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like, whatever the other person pays you. And she's like, well, you were a little bit better than her. Do you mind 250? Mm-hmm. And it was $250 an hour to hit with a girl who gave me my first 100 boners. And, you know, and I remember the check, it said, like, it was some name, and then it said entertainment fund. Like, they have a checking account just for entertainment. You know, it's just nuts. It was a different world. So anyways, I could have done that and probably made $100,000 a year cash, but then I would have done nothing with comedy.
Right.
You know, not that I've really it's crazy.
Yeah, you have. Yeah.
No, but I'm just saying, like, those were handcuffs I didn't want to get into, golden handcuffs I didn't want to get into.
Yeah.
And that's a true sign that this is the world for you. Because,
I guess,
like,
so,
because you have to, again, it's that all in mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And knowing that, like, I mean, dude, because so many people, like, will, whether they're looking for the shortcuts early or just seeing a chance to settle or have some stability.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's that powering through that obstacle of knowing that, like, the uncertainty is going to be there for a while. But you know, and I'm sure we can all attest to this, that's part of the exciting shit,
man. Yeah. That's why Lindsey Buckingham wants to talk to me about fucking playing Decatur, Illinois. You know, it's some bar where a guy's, you know, throwing Pepsi bottles at you.
Yeah. And then, if you had stuck with that, and you would have never won 2 Michigan Emmys.
That's true. I never would have won 2 Michigan Emmys.
I mean,
wait,
now,
what did you win those for?
Those are trophies you probably still have.
Yeah.
I got one of those up at my house, and people always...
Please tell me there's, like, a shrine to it.
It's so funny. People walk in my apartment, you know, nice apartment, whatever, modest apartment, and they like, look at me, and they're like, wait, did you win an Emmy? And I always go, like, yeah. Well, you know, like, why are you so surprised?
Like, you haven't?
It's a Michigan Emmy. I hosted a sports show on Fox Sports Detroit. And just to give you some perspective, looks just like an Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
Feels like an Emmy, but it says Michigan Emmy at the bottom. But
no one
there was
that.
Only one other person in my category. So it was 50% chance. And I don't know how it works with the real Emmys. I bet you it's not that much different.
Yeah.
The Michigan Emmys, Fox would nominate all their shows. They pay for all the nominations. And then the little Michigan Emmy people, you know, they need the Fox money to run their fucking thing. So they give Fox the Emmys. We did have a good show, but it was a very influenced by what networks, like, donate to the cause. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm sure there's a lot. I mean, and I know that Ricky Gervais made jokes about that when he was hosting hosting Golden Globes. Like, it's whoever sucks up to the Hollywood Foreign Press the most.
But they have, like the Emmys have to have CBS, like, they both need each other. It's a symbiotic relationship, so they're going to reward CBS,
right?
And CBS is going to, you know what I mean? Like, it's all riffraff.
Have you always been that naturally good at hosting? I mean, so Attack of the Show, E, comment section on E.
You guys are really fucking.
Joe McHale,
I don't know
what's
in these computers, but it's fucking certainly michaelcosta.com.
the world is in his
computers.
Look, man, it's like a skill set that I think every comedian wants to possess, because like, there's so many jobs, especially now, I think, where they're looking for hosts that have, like, the comedians that are more funny than, like, a Seacrest, but can
still move the show along and, like, know how to read the teleprompter.
Have you always had that?
I love hosting. I always thought it was the highest compliment for us as comics.
Hell yeah.
You know, host the Oscars, host a show, whatever. I really get frustrated at how Los Angeles comedy, like, kind of disrespects the live host.
Mm-hmm.
Not the TV host. Like, at the Improv, if you're hosting, people just kind of think you suck at comedy. And it's like, no, this is the this person should be great at comedy.
Yes. Right, because they keep the show going.
You got to keep the show. You're going to see them the most.
Yeah.
When I would go over to Australia and tour and Canada, they both do it so much better. They have a headliner on an off week host the show. The most green, the weakest comic is the feature.
That's what's new. Yeah.
And it's fantastic. The audience comes down. They have a professional 20-year veteran comic welcoming him to the show, telling about the announcements, doing some jokes. Then they bring up the shitty guy. He kind of sucks, but people laugh. And then they bring, it's just like.
And they bring up the headliner, right?
And they bring up the headliner. Yeah, and it's great. So much better.
Yeah.
New York pays the hosts at least double. At least double. Like, New York's like, oh, the guy's hosting the show. He's funny.
Well, because they're doing the most stage
time. I agree, but then why does LA not do that? I don't get why.
When do we make that? I mean, and there's no comedy police again. Like, who? I guess one club just has to start.
There's Stand Up Batman. I don't know who that is, but.
Wait, is it really?
Is that a Twitter handle?
Go to Stand Up Batman right now. Oh, you guys may need a sec to read some of them, but. There was speculation on who it was. No one really knows. A lot of people thought it was me, which I guess is a compliment.
Hell, but, yeah, it is.
But he really just calls people out. Like, I started following him very early, and I even retweeted him a couple times. I think people, like, thought whatever. But, he's mean.
And is he aware of, like, every... Like, somebody runs a light?
We're pretty certain it's somebody at the store, right. Because this guy has fucking knowledge.
Yeah,
and
like,
by the way,
okay.
I'm not trying, like... It's very possible that he's gotten on both of you guys. Like, he fucking attacks. You know what I mean? So I'm not trying to, like, turn you out, like...
He has a...
he's gotten on me, for sure.
He has a tweet where he retweets the Comedy Store saying, Mark Maron bringing up Jeremy Piven for his first ever stand-up set in the main room.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. And Stand-Up Batman goes, can't wait till I get bumped by a millionaire wearing a bad toupee who is doing stand-up out of boredom.
Yeah, exactly. Except like, that's even nicer because those are two, like, established stars. I mean, he goes after everybody. So anyways, say what you want about Stand-Up Batman. I don't know why we got it talking about. Oh, no, it's a comedy police.
Yeah.
I feel like every, you know, it'd be nice if there was a little bit of a police, but
there's
been
times when, I mean, and I just bite my lip. I've said it a few times to people, and then I never feel good about it, where it was like, you know, somebody...
Definitely following Stand-Up Batman.
Somebody, like, somebody,
you may want to unfollow, but I think it's funny.
Like, somebody at the store had to go fill time. It was before, there were no paid regulars there, so this person went up to do a little bit of time until the next person showed up.
Yep.
And they said, like, go up for, like, plan on, like, 5 or maybe 7.
Yep.
And I think it was myself or somebody else that showed up and was ready to go, and so they lit him, and he still did a full, like, 15-minute OR set. I think it was even more, like, 20.
He's not a paid regular.
No.
Yeah.
And I remember, and he walks off, and I remember I was just like, what? It just got to me so bad because I was like, what the fuck? And I said something, and he just acted like it was not a big deal and then got mad at me for calling him out. And I was like, it just, I felt so bad because I was like, God, because again, like, you're like, this isn't my job, but
it's
not
your job.
I was sticking up for other people.
But you are, and it's just like, now that guy hates you, and now he's casting a show, and you're never going to be in it. And it's also like, but you did the right thing. I mean, it's. We need, like, an organization, SEC.
governing body of just someone to overlook all of Stan and be like, yeah, you did run the light by 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So you're so
essentially,
you're
that's what every club booker is in their own little world.
Sure.
Right? It's like,
They're the keeper.
They're the keeper of that world. Yeah.
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 It's pretty nuts that way because no one deemed them the keeper. Yeah. They just opened up a club. So, all right.
They just learned how to embezzle cash and treat people shitty.
Pay comics and cocaine.
Yes, exactly.
And,
have you ever been paid? You've been paid or offered?
Offered.
Because everyone told me this happened all the time. I'm still waiting for it.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for my damn cocaine.
Hear that Winnipeg rumors next week?
You hear that guy I fucked at the Bringer Show in North Hollywood?
North Hollywood.
Pay me in cocaine.
Someone's offered you cocaine instead of payment.
Yeah, yeah.
What city and state were you in? What state were you in?
Southern California.
Wow.
In a not a club, bar show.
Oh, a surprise.
Yeah, and the guy tossed a bag of cocaine and goes, "You were really funny."
Wow.
And he tossed a bag of cocaine like
he, that's the payment.
Yeah, like he was doing me a favor. Like I could give you cash.
Yeah.
But you were funny. I'm giving you coke.
Yeah. And you like, toss it back and
yeah,
go
like,
fuck it.
No, I don't want this because. Yeah. A, it's not money. I can't do anything with this. And this, you're presuming that I'm going to do this cocaine.
Yeah.
B, that I don't do cocaine, so yeah. Now you're turning me into a drug dealer.
Correct.
Now you're
that's
like
very presumptuous of him.
Yeah, just yeah. Be like, well, yeah. You know, he's a dwarf. He probably does cocaine. No, I have a tiny heart. It would explode.
Yes, it would. If you could text me that Booker's number. Yeah.
Yo, what was it like working for A, Joel McHale, and B, yeah. More importantly, Regis Philbin?
Regis.
Both were great. Joel was great because...
I was on the comment section.
The comment section on E. It still lives on the internet somewhere. Joel was just... Joel's successful and busy, and he's not involved. Like, I mean that in a good way.
Yeah.
He's mm-hmm. not like, I need a proof script, and why don't you do this? Yeah, he's right. Just like, we trust you. We know you're funny. His head writer, KP Anderson, yeah. on The Soup. KP was our EP. Mm-hmm. So it was just like, we trust KP. So Joel was awesome. He was perfect. He showed up for press, yeah. which is like what I needed.
That's huge.
I need someone to fucking like, oh, he's funny.
Right.
And he would show up to the tapings, and he was our last guest, which was really dope. And he brought out a bottle of champagne, and we got drunk on air.
That's awesome.
And then Regis... You know,
that was that sports show, right?
That was on Fox called
FS1, right?
FS1 called Crowd Goes Wild.
Yeah, you guys kind of helped launch the network.
We definitely launched the network. Helped. I don't know if that's the case. We did 176 1-hour live daily TV shows, wow. And it was like no one
with,
saw it. Like
I'm here
no,
with Michael Costa.
Hey, fucking! I had heart surgery. They opened me up like a lobster. That's all he would ever do. They'll be like a lobster. Live. You know, you got an 85-year-old male host.
Yeah.
And he's live, and they would say, okay, Regis, you got the first 4 minutes at the top. Alex Rodriguez just accepted his 1-year ban. If you could talk about that and the Yankees to start the show. Okay. Oh, got it. Okay. Got it. Yeah, got it. So, you know, go live. Bang, we're on. And you go, I met Joe DiMaggio in 1951. Everyone's like, what the fuck? And they're in our ear like, interrupt Regis, interrupt. Because it's like they're trying to be youth Regis. And hip. And like, yeah. And he's talking about DiMaggio in 51, you know. And it's like.
The but first ever peanut guy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, so it was super fun. It was really fun to see a total seasoned professional who just like.
85 still.
Oh, yeah. And he just like. You know, by the way, we were on from 5 to 6. He mm-hmm. would show up at 4:40 and leave at 6:02. But he's 85. But it was fun to see. I still, like, want to please the producers. And I want to do what I'm supposed to. Yeah, as well as should. But he has a level of, I'm here. I want to do what you want me to do. But at the end of the day, I'm on fucking camera. Yeah. And if I want to talk about DiMaggio, that's what we're talking about. And I kind of like that. I kind of like,
he's earned that reputation.
Yeah, and it's kind of like he wasn't a dick, but he's like, look, intern who's 26. Like, I know more. I've done more television programs than age you are. So I enjoyed watching that. I still don't have the courage to do it, but maybe someday.
Did he give you any advice?
He
just be loud, Costa.
Yeah, come on, learn how to hit the table.
When in doubt, talk about DiMaggio.
Yeah, he wasn't that kind of dude. He wasn't like we went to a baseball game with him one time, and he was just a fun, nice dude. But he kept his distance mm-hmm. a little bit, not like negatively, but just like he knew maybe the show wasn't going to go on forever and ever, and he was I don't know, and he was 85. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's like.
I can't even imagine putting myself in an 85-year-old man's shoes.
Yeah.
And how would you operate? And you've been on TV for as many hours, as you mentioned, that he's logged.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I mean.
At some point, you're like, yo, if I'm still doing it and you still want me, I probably know what the fuck I'm doing.
Like, his advice to me was like, you should try to get on SNL. And it was like, okay, that's good advice, but like, you know, I don't know
how that could happen. That's like Regis, do you know Lauren?
Do you know somebody? Yeah. That's like when people told me I should play Wimbledon. You know, it's like, oh, yeah. Good. Bobby Lee has that joke. Like, his dad's like, you should do movie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I should do movie.
Yeah. That's yeah, what I was
missing. That's what I was missing. So, but it was just fun to every day before he would get on the stage, he'd play Bing Crosby. Like, it was just so classic,
that's
you know?
So that's kind of cool, and it kind of gets you in that
mood. Yeah, it was fun, dude. It was like a pregame ritual, and live was so fun because live makes you feel like it's like a sporting event.
Yeah.
Like, we got to fucking, you know,
and you can't
don't
mess
be late.
Up. And if you do mess up, you have to fix it on air.
And you will mess up.
Yeah.
And so will the camera guy. And so will your, you know, everything messes up. But that's what I love about, I think live is super
You love dope. It, huh?
I love it, love it, love it. You also don't get stuck reshooting, you know?
Yeah.
Was Mad TV, that wasn't live. No. So
we had live, Friday live tape day. So it would be half pre-taped and half in front of a live audience.
Okay.
But even the, we would get maybe, I mean, sometimes one take, but usually two takes at a sketch.
But two takes in a sketch, but the audience has seen the first take.
Yeah. So I would always I mean,
try to do something different. Yeah.
And I mean, improvise up a storm. So that was because there was just, you know, the CW unfortunately put the clamps down on a lot of know, funny and did watered they? Stuff down. And so, so then, you know, you're like, all right, well, I'll do what we got approved here. But then the second one, like, I've got some funnier shit that I came with, and I'm a live audience.
But see, that's what I'm talking about. Like the Regis factor there, what I learned was he just would have done it. It's like, well, that, you hired me and this is what I'm doing.
You hired me for a reason.
And I still would be like, let me get approval on that first. And it's like, fuck, dude.
You learn that, yeah.
Yeah, you learn that. You know, it's like the home run hitters aren't like, do I have approval to swing for the fences? No, they fucking crush the ball and they strike out a lot too.
Yeah, good metaphor.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect. I do a lot of baseball stuff. A lot of
you're
baseball
the Jay Buhner of comedy. Is that what you're saying?
The who of comedy?
Jay Buhner.
Jay Buhner.
He's a Mariners right fielder. Oh,
here we go.
Power
Mariners
slugger.
Guys. Man. God, they fucking.
You're a big. Wait, so tennis is your sport?
No. I don't. I love sport. I love competition. Yeah. I love pressure. I can't tell you the Red Wings left forward.
I can't.
You know,
Brad.
In the 90s, I could.
In the 90s, you could. In the 90s, you could tell me the Detroit Red Wings left. Sir Fedorov, would he play?
No, Fedorov was a right winger. Eisman was the center. Kozlov.
Wow, you're fucking right, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a weird thing. I was really into hockey at that time, like obsessed.
Way into it.
Yeah, like I could tell you that.
Well, hockey's huge in Orange County, you know?
I mean, we got the Ducks, man.
I know. Yeah.
We got one Stanley Cup.
Named after a Disney film. Yeah, it just Jesus. Doesn't make any sense, you know, but they were fucking good.
It was either that or the Anaheim Air Buds.
Yeah.
So,
or
I
the
mean,
Tennessee Teen Wolves.
Sure.
That would be a good basketball
team. The San
team.
Jose Sandlots?
Yeah, Sandlots.
It would be great if...
Any more alliteration, you guys? The Louisiana Lethal Weapons. I don't know.
That sounds like a weird sex move.
The St. Louis Steel Magnolias.
Yes. I mean, that also sounds like a good sex move.
Speaking of pressure, the Tonight Show, was that... were you just pumped and ready for that? Or were you like, this is a big... To me, I feel like that's the last... I mean, obviously, like, you know, Conan, for me, super dope. I feel like that's a probably big notch on the belt.
Yep.
But, like, new Tonight Show, still the prestige. But, like, for us, like, and we're at, like, that Leno Tonight Show, long running. Like, to me, I feel like that's, to be on that is incredible.
That changed my life. People say, like, you know, people don't watch the late shows and they're right. But that 5 minutes legitimately changed my life in the sense that, one, my mom would introduce me as a stand-up comic to her friends after that. But then
wasn't happening before that.
It was just like, it's a little hobby thing, you know.
And now
it's like,
wow.
You know.
But now she gets to say he was on the Tonight Show, and that's a frame of reference for her friends to go like. Because when you tell some people, "Oh, he's a comedian," that could mean, as we discussed earlier,
anything,
any number of things. Yeah. But when you say, "Oh, he's been on the Tonight Show,"
I've seen that,
and it changed my life in the sense that that's when like I started getting real headlining gigs with real money. So it's like financially it helped. But I don't think the general public realizes how cool it is when someone does a stand-up set on a late night show. I mean, they are literally giving us their show.
Yeah.
No one else is on the fucking show.
No.
They're
no one
giving
else is talking.
Us 5 minutes. They shut the fuck up the only time and they give it to you. And what was lucky for me in that set was those jokes were so ready. Like so polished.
Yeah.
And that was a testament of, if I would have been offered that 3 years earlier, I would have said yes, but it wouldn't have been as good.
Mm-hmm.
So I always tell young comics or what, it's like, don't rush it, dude. Like polish the fuck out of it. And then when it's ready, you can have a really good set. I also, for whatever reason, people watched that show. Like that probably had to do more with the guests.
That episode, who was on?
I forget who was on it. I forget who was on it.
Regis
was a Friday. Yeah, Regis
Philbin.
And
I'm
going to
look it up.
Yeah, I forget who was on it. It wasn't like a name. Megan McCormick, is she an actress?
Megan Mullally?
I don't know. But whatever the case was, my point is like, it was seen.
Yeah.
And so that helped me. You know, it could have been also a great set that never just got fucking seen. I mean, you're going to have to dig deep into that one.
I'm looking for it.
I took my check. You guys may appreciate it. I took my check and I bought this watch.
Hey.
And I put the date. I put Tonight Show and I put April 9th, 2010 on there. I figure someday...
Look at that.
Sunday,
that's awesome.
After I overdose, I'll give it to my son or something.
And be like, my dad did something once.
But exactly. But, you know, some people make fun of me for that. I'm proud of it, and it changed my life. So let's put it on a fucking timepiece.
Yo, wait, Sally Field? No.
Well, I was on another Tonight Show with Sally Field.
You were on twice?
I was on three times. Once with Sally Field, once with Matthew McConaughey, who's an actor, I guess, does a lot of acting.
I thought doesn't he do commercials?
He's one of the pet guys. He does a lot of the pets.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And then, you know what happened? The first show was an actress I forget named Megan McCormick or Megan something, and she was very sweet. And
Maureen McCormick.
Maybe. Maybe, and I'll never forget that I fucking forgot about this. Thank you for bringing it up. You guys do a great job on those computers. It was an animal night.
Oh.
It was an animal night.
Stupid pet trick, whatever.
As stupid as we think it is, motherfuckers watch that.
Yeah, that crushes. That crushes. Why do you think Letterman had him on every other week?
Yes, it crushes. So
Jack Lemmon has had a career.
Correct, correct.
Just bringing animals
Jack on. Hanna.
Jack Hanna. Sure. Jack Lemmon is the guy from
Grumpy Old Men. Yeah,
no, Jack Lemmon is...
world famous Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon and Walter Matthau.
Isn't 30 Rock Jack
Lemmon? No, that's Liz Lemon. Welcome back to What the Fuck
Wait,
Are You Guys
but
Talking
If
about?
Life Gives You Lemonade, You Make Lemon. Oh, man.
If Life Gives You Lemonade, yeah. You Make Jack Lemon?
Jack, make Jack Lemons on The Tonight Show. I remember
getting... Yeah, he's
getting,
the grumpy old man guy.
Yeah, I remember
my mistake.
Getting makeup for my first Tonight Show, and I looked over, and the other person in the makeup chair was a wombat. They were like doing the wombat's hair, and I was like, "What the fuck is this business that I've decided to be in?" So that's why it was watched. It was doing the wombat's hair.
That's not a dance move or a rapper.
No, that's like a real.
And dude, yet another prime example of like the stars aligning and needing like. I mean, there's so many factors that go in. I mean, to have, and you don't think about that, thankfully, going in, like, you're just worried about your comedy and not like, God, I hope there's animals on the show, too.
Yeah.
I hope Timberlake's there. I hope there's another reason to watch. You're
correct.
Like, let me do my thing, and hopefully that clip can get passed around. But, like, that's a blessing.
It was, try to focus on what you can control. And I asked someone, the cue card guy came up afterwards. And he goes, "Hey man, congrats, great set, that was really nice." And he goes, "Do you want your cue card?"
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "Did I just jizz in my pants?"
Yes.
So I have the fucking cue card, you know. And it's, it was great. It was a fucking great.
How was Leno,
dude? The best.
I love him so much.
He's not his comedy doesn't always do it for me.
Yeah.
He comes in the green room, he puts his feet up, he goes, "Let's talk about stand up comedy." He's the best. I never met Conan. I never met Chelsea. I never met fucking. Seth, I met Seth Meyers for 10 seconds. Leno sits down in his Canadian tuxedo and he puts his feet up and he goes like, I'm going to Tulsa tonight. Literally, he flew to Tulsa to do a show and he flies back home. And I go, "Who do you fly with?" He goes, "By myself." And I go, "You're just in the..." He goes, "By myself." I could jerk off back here if they wanted to. That's what Leno said to me. The cleanest comic. Because I could jerk back. He was, he was trying to do like comedy.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right. Dude. But that's who he is, by the way. Like, I didn't realize that until I saw him at the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach.
Yeah.
Loosen the tie.
Yeah.
By the way, lean on the mic stand, hold the mic like a comic. And I go, "Who the fuck is this guy?"
Dude, he was a beast of a stand up. I mean, still is. Yeah. But like,
he was regarded as like the guy.
The country's best stand up.
Also, and we forget that. But then it's like, okay, man, you think they were just going to give a Doritos guy the Tonight Show because they're like, "Well, he can hopefully push Doritos."
Yeah. No, he was, I think he even got Dorito. I mean, he was the best touring stand-up comic that was around. And I will always, always appreciate... Dude, I'm so nervous in the green room, as we all are.
Mm-hmm.
And to have the host come in and put his feet up and go,
"It really
like,
did loosen you up,
hell
huh?"
Hell yeah, loosens you up.
Yeah,
and the first time I meet Chelsea,
support.
I'm with the cameras rolling and I'm afraid to look into her eyeballs. You know what I mean? It's like, it helps. It helps tremendously.
Absolutely.
So much love, Jay Leno. Hope you're doing good, man.
I think he's doing all right. he lives.
I mean, he's been relegated to the CBC. He's like a full-on car genius. Like, knows how to fix everything.
Yeah, well, he's got... he has a 3D printer in the garage where you say, like, "What part do we need?"
Yeah.
And he hits a button and the machine makes the part.
Makes the part.
It's fucking
ridiculous. I need a gaffer for the... I can't even fake it.
You can't.
You don't need a gaffer? Isn't that like a guy that holds the camera? What's a gaffer?
You can even say, like, spark plug for...
I couldn't even say spark plug.
57 Chevy. Yeah, I couldn't even say that.
I need a gaffer.
I need a boom mic.
I need a boom.
Do you have weird interests or hobbies like that? Like Jay being into cars. I guess it's not weird, but something that you off stage that you really...
I always try to. Like,
you read.
I read, but I don't... I would love it if I like...
Had a foot fetish or something?
Yeah, would love that. But love it if I could just jerk off to feet for once. No, I would love to like learn the harmonica or
some other thing.
I've been trying this year to, like, when I played tennis, I would write jokes. That was like the way to get my brain away from tennis. This year, I've been trying to learn how to cook more Asian foods.
Cool.
Okay, Thai in particular. and just like general Asian. But I really love that. But like, I always just kind of stop doing that stuff. Do you guys have other shit you do that's cool?
I play golf every now and then. I play video games. Yeah,
I know, but wouldn't it be cool to be like Jonah Ray? Like, I watched him play drums one time, and it was like, you're a master drummer. Yeah, like, that is so fucking dope.
Burr plays drums.
I heard
Burr and Tom Papa talking about how they both started to learn how to make bread.
Tom Papa's Instagram is so not comedy.
I know.
And almost all bread. I don't know what to think of it, but I can't stop looking at it.
And not like bread in the slang term as money.
No, it's
just
like
bread.
Bread. Like, his last one that I remember liking, he's probably like, why the fuck are you liking this? Is like just like the top of his head and then like four loaves of like a nice honey bread. And I'm like, what the fuck is this? But I love that he's so into it.
I know.
What do you got, Adam?
I mean, dude, it used to be guitar, you know, all the time.
That's
and
dope.
Then, but also, it's like, I don't know, writing pod. I mean, it's everything.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, it can be
basketball, like, I guess, is my thing.
Yeah,
that I,
third place, 2013.
I mean, pretty good. I don't know. I mean, I don't watch enough TV. I mean, I guess.
But this is all career stuff. This is all career stuff.
It used
stuff.
To be like video stuff. Like, we're going to shoot some like podcast promo stuff after this. And like, to me, that's.
You're so good at that stuff. I mean, every time I it almost makes me mad when I go to Adam's Twitter and I'm like, another fucking video? Like, how's this guy pull this shit off?
It's, I mean, it used to be great. More.
Don't have any hobbies. That's the answer.
Yeah, for sure.
I hate myself.
Don't have a kid or a girlfriend or a fucking social life.
Yeah,
I know. If you're listening out there, I want a kid.
I want a kid. Well, not a girlfriend, just a child. I want to come inside you and fertilize your egg, but I don't want to. I don't want to love you.
I do want to be sure before we wrap up that we plug your podcast.
Which love. I want both of you to be on.
1,000%.
Separate. Do you guys do stuff separately?
Or, I prefer. I think together is great, but I think
we'll talk about it.
Talk about what your worst birthdays are and try to mash them together.
I've got some great ones.
Yeah, okay,
I mean,
good.
Together will be fun, but I mean, it's your
No. I was a fucking joke.
Yeah.
My podcast is called The Worst Birthday Podcast. It's, you just go to worstbirthday.com. And we've done 74 episodes.
Nice.
I would love to emulate the success you guys have had. I fucking I have a lot of respect for building an audience like this. And
one day you two will have candles.
That'll be good. Yes. It does smell good in here. My friends just tell me their worst birthday. It's simple. We've had some brutal ones. A lot of physical injuries. Sadly, some deaths.
Whoa.
Candace Thompson, she told me, she's like, it's not funny. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm sure it'll be funny.
She
was date raped by a fucking Miami of Ohio basketball player.
Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, you know, that was a tough one, but real, organic.
Yeah. I also love that you found, like, that is a, you know, starting a podcast, having a podcast these days, you need a different.
You need something.
An angle, a hook or something, and a theme. And that is like, dude, that's
everyone's
that's
got
untapped.
One.
Yeah, no one's such, and everyone has one.
Yeah. So thank you. So please check that out. And then all my live, when is this going up?
Next Monday or Thursday.
I will, if it's next Monday, I will be in Winnipeg at Rumors. And then I'm going to be in Asheville and Chattanooga and Indianapolis. So check out michaelcosta.com.
Go. Yeah, cannot recommend. Recommend seeing you live enough.
Thank you.
It's
Adam.
Like your energy, your jokes. It's like a total package, man.
Thank you, man. And, I'm all about the total package.
And your album,
Comedy for Attractive People. If you're ugly, you're not going to get it. Don't buy it. it's available wherever you buy fucking albums.
Yeah. Amazon,
all,
iTunes.
All four people that buy albums.
Right.
You, to be top 10 on iTunes, you have to sell like 7 albums. Do you know that? Like,
for
it's
real?
Like it's like
it
no
is
one buys
always
albums.
Funny. Yeah, it is always funny to me when my feature act on the road in the Midwest goes, and at the show I got my CD for sale. It was ranked number 1 on the iTunes charts. I'm like, what the fuck?
How did that happen?
Mine wasn't. why are you opening for me?
It's not. It's tough to sell albums, but that's available if you'd like it. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah, and then you're available for open tennis challenges
whenever you want to play tennis.
I would actually love to play.
I'd love to play with you.
Yeah,
I'd love to. The biggest problem with playing tennis is you usually need someone at a similar level.
Right.
So we're friends. We'll go play. But a lot of people come up and they're like, let's play. And I'm like, do you play tennis? Yeah, I played in middle school. And
oh,
it's like,
Jesus.
Don't look at me.
And then you figure out it was pickleball.
Yeah,
not
it's
even
like
tennis.
Pickleball. Yeah. And they're holding, it's an Asian kid holding a table tennis thing. Apparently it's a retarded Asian kid. Is there a video here? Where's the cameras? Ah, blew it.
Wait, real quick. Does tennis for you translate to ping pong? And do you play ping pong?
Yeah, well, first of all, table tennis is the actual way.
So there it is.
There's the arrogance. Hand-eye coordination absolutely coordinates everything else. No, like, I'm good at ping pong. I'll probably beat both of you easily at ping pong, but But I am no
definitely
I,
me
nowhere near. If you're a great tennis player, there's not a predicted you'll be a great table tennis player.
And just to wrap up, do you have anything you want to say to Roger Federer?
Roger's my favorite athlete of all time.
Is he really?
He gives four different press conferences in four different languages after every single match. Imagine what? That.
Wow.
Imagine
I was expecting
after
you to talk shit.
Every
I didn't even know that.
Set. Yeah. Imagine if every comedy set you had 100 people asking you about that comedy set and you had to do it in German, Swiss German, French, and English. He's impeccable. He's my favorite.
And
Roger, love you, dude.
Just won the Australian Open.
Just won and this one number 18.
36, 38, something like that.
For about 36 for the last 27 years.
Yeah.
I have watched the Australian Open men's final live sound asleep. Because it starts at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to fucking do it this year. And then at the second set, sound fucking asleep. 27 years in a row, I've never broken that record.
That is an amazing thing to do at your press conference. And impressive because, like,
oh,
and also it's shown progression because, like, Jim Courier, you should just sing Crossroads by Bone Thugs.
I love that you're making a Jim Courier reference. Come on, Adam.
My mom got me into tennis, and I play it all the time. And not just sixth grade.
Wonderful guy, by the way. You should get him on this fucking. I know everyone says, like, hey, you should get Tom Cruise on
By the
here.
Way, no one said you should get Jim Courier.
You should
on.
Fucking get Jim Courier on here.
He's got stories.
He's a great guitar player. Stories.
How do you know Jim Courier?
Dislocated his shoulder, getting drunk on and driving a golf cart into a lake. Oh, this guy's the best, dude.
I mean, I'm a new hero. I'll put him on just for that story alone.
I could probably get you close to him, but
right?
I don't have his. I don't have like cell phone.
Brad'll close the deal.
Close the deal. Yeah,
I'm
okay.
A closer.
We almost got.
Always be closing. ABC.
We almost got Chris Pratt because he stormed into
shit.
The bathroom
yeah.
at a Lakers game, and he was using the dwarf urinal, right?
No, somebody else was, and but then I made a
Is
joke about it.
Is that just the sink?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the sink.
What I call my bathtub, Mike.
Sorry.
It's what I call my bathtub.
Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.